Take 374, day two. It's the news, according to me. Well, there was supposed to be a show yesterday, but, you know, there wasn't. Oh, I recorded one, or most of one. It's all about 37 times. It never happened. Good morning, folks. It is Tuesday, December 9th, 9:05 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 2025. I am your host for right now, telling you that I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a financial counselor. I'm not a plumber. At least not yet. I'm just an old guy with a microphone. Somebody let the old guy have a microphone. Happens to be plugged into the... My voice is changing again, yet once again. It changed in puberty, now it's changing into the old man voice now. More tea for the old man. I got something raspy going on with my throat now. So yesterday I started off with a show. And it was late in the day. I didn't get home till late in the day, ended up doing some other things, and finally got around to doing a show about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Well, that didn't turn out real well. It was just one thing after another. Computer was having all kinds of issues. I had had to reset things and restart things several times. And it was just, it got to the point where then finally just my whole computer just shut off. Your computer decided to shut down because of blah, 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 blah. And it was, okay, thanks. It's only done that like one other time. But of course, yesterday was one of those times. Oh, goodness gracious. So I have, I'm going to attempt to do this again this morning. I should have done it probably much earlier than I'm doing it now, but I was rather tired this morning. So I got up, got the dogs taken care of, got a few things done around the house. So now it's going to, now the dog is starting to whine again. I thought the dog was kind of settled down. I thought I was going to be able to do this. Now the dog is starting to whine and bark again, which is what happened. This is how it all started yesterday. Let's see what he does. He's going out there. I'm just going to let him go out there. I don't know what's out there, but he's just going to go out there. I'm not going to try to keep him here beside me. You just go out and chew on something while I'm doing this. While I chew on politics here. Okay. So anyway. So yesterday's show, I had a few things, a couple of clips that I wanted to play. I was trying to play some things, which wasn't going well either. That was taking time because the internet was going slow. Things weren't working properly, and then it wasn't recording for a while. Didn't notice it. It recorded like half the show without it. Didn't notice that things weren't recording. But the good news is, in my cup I have chai, and I have coconut creamer in there. Just coconut cream. Now, in my backup cup, I have a freshly brewed sweet tea. Not peach sweet tea, just regular sweet tea. I didn't put peaches in it this time. However, there's a little bit of residual tea left over from Slim Chickens. And the tea that I got from Slim Chickens was down in Fayetteville, Arkansas. Was the peach sweet tea from there. So it has a little bit of peach flavor to it. But it is freshly brewed sweet tea, homemade sweet tea yesterday. I made it yesterday. Decided to do that. By the way, there's a lot of chicken places start up in Arkansas. I think Fayetteville, the northwest Arkansas area, is where the headquarters of Walmart is, what I understand. I don't know if you recall back when Bill Clinton was running for president. He used to be governor of Arkansas. And the biggest industry in Arkansas, from what I understand, is chicken farming. At least it was back then. This was back in the late 90s. Mid late 80s or early 90s. The big thing there was chicken farming. And of course, Slim Chickens, I think, started from there. I think even Cane's Chicken might have started raising Cane's Chicken. I think started from there. I don't think Chick-fil-A started there. Not sure where Chick-fil-A did start from. I don't know. Probably Midwest somewhere. Culver's started from Wisconsin. Culver's has a very good grilled chicken sandwich, by the way. A much broader menu. The only thing I don't like at Culver's is their sweet tea. If they had this kind of sweet tea that Chick-fil-A does, personally, I think they would be a bigger business than they are. But that's just my opinion. I know they would get my no, they would have one customer. I'd be there a lot more. I do like the fries though at Chick-fil-A, and I do like their shakes. There's some of their other specialty drinks are kind of good. There's lemonade, frosted lemonades, or sometimes certain flavors are kind of good. Anyway, this is not an advertisement for anybody because I don't do advertisements. I'm not sponsored by anybody. I'm sponsored by me. All you have to do is put up with my gibberish and rattling on sometimes, instead of listening to me read some kind of commercial about some earplugs or gold or something, whatever. You don't have to do that. I want to play this little thing. Mayor Johnson. Oh, by the way, we're all going to be perfectly fine now because Jasmine Crockett is going to run for state senator, for senator of the great state of Texas. She's her advertisement, her all of her marketing, all of her stuff is somebody's running her production. I guarantee you that. She has somebody doing this production thing and guiding her through this whole process. They're trying to make her out to be bigger than she is. She has no platform. There's nothing. Now, my understanding is there hasn't been a Democrat senator in Texas for a long time. I think all the senators in Texas are actually Republicans. The reason for that is because the districts are larger. And now the way they've got the districts drawn up now, and it has just passed the Supreme Court, that they're redrawing of the supposedly gerrymandering of the states, the districts now stands because it's the Supreme Court ruled that it's fine. I think Ketanji Brown was the only one who had an issue with it because she just had an issue. She didn't have an argument. She had no argument, just an issue. So they had this thing going on with her. Well, then, what's interesting about all that is how they're playing this out that she's basically lost her place, her congressional seat in Texas, which I think is going to give my understanding is going to give Texas about five more Republicans. If all this stuff stands, and I know. Indiana is working on this as well. There's one particular individual who may not sign off on it or doesn't. I'm not sure exactly how that's going on. It's just, I don't know that really matters at this point. That the representation has been very lopsided because of the way they have worked the districts in most of these states. And it's Democrats have pretty much maxed out their gerrymandering process, especially California. Of course, they threaten it. We're going to do the same thing. If they're going to do it, we're going to do it. Well, you've already been doing it. So it doesn't – the problem is being corrected now back to the way it should be based on territory, not based on – it should just be – in fact, I think Indiana for a long time, if I remember right, I could be wrong about this. My understanding was the districts were based on counties and they had county lines. And you just had certain counties and certain districts and that was where the line was. They didn't draw any other lines other than the counties themselves. And it might still be that way. It might just be that they've readjusted the counties to be certain districts, which I think makes more sense because of if you have like the South Bend is in one big, is in St. Joe County, and there's a lot of sprawling area there that's not just downtown South Bend. The city of South Bend is, I would call it more blue. So there's a higher population there. If you include all the sprawled out area and make it all and include that with other counties around it, you're going to end up with a red district, which for the most part it is. Jackie Walorski was part of that district, and she was a congressional representative. But yeah, anyway, the we'll see how this all works. How it all works out. Now, Mayor Johnson, he is a bloviating child in a grown up outfit. I don't. He's he's a power hungry individual, by the way. It all goes to his head. He thinks he knows it all. He always plays the race card every time he gets pushback. Any kind of pushback whatsoever, he starts calling it racism, starts talking about slavery, brings up all that stuff. He can't move ahead with anything. And in fact, when he tries to move ahead, he realizes it's going to take money, and then he starts charging. You know, it doesn't happen to mention things for the budget, how he's going to pay for the budget on things. The head tax, I think the head tax was actually voted down. He had this deal where he was going to do a head tax. What it amounted to was every employer was going to have to pay $21 per person per month that they had working for them. So if you had 100 employees, it was going to cost you $2,100 per month just to have them there. Now, it may not seem like much until you start looking at it on a per year basis and how that works into other benefits for those employees. And I don't know, understand, I'm not sure that, see, people don't get this. Businesses don't just absorb that. They pass it on to their customers. This is a backsided, underhanded, in-the-basement tax on the community. And here's the problem with it. This is how these socialists, Marxists, they always do this. This is how their economy works. They impose all these taxes. Well, it's across the board. Everyone has to pay it because we all have these social services we need, so that everybody has to participate in this. Here's the problem. Now they get to pick and choose who they give exemptions to. That's how it works. All of a sudden, well, you're going to be exempt because you're a black organization. And that's what Mayor Johnson does. Well, we're going to give you the contract because you're a black-owned business. He literally has said this. He comes out, he's admitted it. He's very proud of the fact that almost all the businesses that the city has hired in his administration are black-owned businesses. He's very proud of that. Now, what happens there is, you can't tell me that a white-owned organization did not underbid any of those or come in with a better bid or a bid that would have been higher quality. You can't tell me that there was nothing there that they could have done in any of those, that there would have been at least one white business that would have been hired. And here's the problem. The contract now can subsidize that $21 per person per month within their contract. The contract can say, we will pay your head tax. So we'll pay you this much for the job, plus we'll also pay for your head tax while you're there. So either they give them exemptions or they give them stipends for those kinds of things. And it's very shady, and yet it gives people advantages that are, you know, you pick and choose. Now, he would say it's justified because of slavery. It's reparations. Okay. Did that business own slaves? The business that you're discriminating against, did it own slaves? Are the people who you're hiring, were they slaves? There's plenty of people in the world. I can find slaves in my ancestry. I'm sure I can. Probably can. There have been people who've been slaves and slave owners in all ancestral lines. And we're not just talking about the uniqueness of American slavery. No, because it doesn't exist. It's slavery in America was probably more humane than it was in many parts of the world. Korea had one of the longest institutionalized slavery cultures than any other nation in the world in history. Nobody talks about that. China has had slaves. And you could say they still do with the Uyghurs. But the idea that somehow we now have to pay for something that someone did, you know, 400 years ago, 300 years ago, that had even no relation to us, just simply because of the color of our skin. How do you do that? Reparations aren't going to heal our nation. That's just, and I've talked about this before, but I'm just not going to get into it anymore. Now, the problem with this whole business thing is that, businesses, what you don't get told is that businesses, when you pay someone $100, let's say they've worked for you, they get $100 a day, whatever it is. To make it easy, I'm just going to say $100 check. So let's say they get a $100 check for working for you. And you, out of that $100 check, they might have a dollar taken out for city tax, city withholdings. Some cities actually have withholding tax. Out of that $100, they might have $2 taken out for state withholdings. They might have $5 taken out for federal withholdings, maybe. I'm just making up numbers. I have no idea whether even in the ballpark. Some states probably have higher withholdings than the federal. So they have $8 taken out of their check. So they end up with a check of $92. Now, on top of that, you got to pay Social Security and insurance and other benefits and other things come out of that. So realistically, you end up with a check of about $67 probably before the end of the day. But those are the taxes that come out of your check, the withholdings. What most employees don't realize is that the employer might be paying you $100, only you're getting $92, is that they're not paying $100. They also have to pay 50%. You're only getting 50% taken out of your check. They pay the other 50%. They're paying $108 to have you on their payroll because they have to pay withholdings as well. But you never see that. Not that you never see it, but you don't even know it. On top of that, they also have to pay, in many cases, depending on the size of the company, they might have to pay unemployment insurance, all kinds of other things that they pay on top of just to have you there. Plus the other part of whatever they pay for your health insurance and other benefits. It could cost them $150 an hour, or $150 for them to have you there out of that $100. And you never see that. You don't know it. All you do is know, all you know is I don't get paid enough. Right. So what this is going to cause, what ends up happening with this is either the businesses that can pass it on to their customers, they will. The businesses that can't pass it on to their customers, because here's the problem. There are businesses outside the city or outside the county, however this goes out. I don't know if it's just all Cook County or if it's just the city limits. And there's businesses within the city limits that don't, like hotels and that kind of thing, that are already get charged. There's a city tax, by the way, on hotels. And when you go to get a hotel in Chicago, there's a city tax, entertainment tax, all kinds of other taxes that they charge there, let alone the fact that every time you drive somewhere, you got to pay a toll. The money that's being absorbed there is just astronomical. It's just, if you sat down and penned it all out, the numbers are ridiculous. There's tax on bottled water there. Every bottle of water, they charge you a tax. Which is why you wonder why you're buying a 20-cent bottle of water and it's costing you $5. This stuff gets passed on to the consumer. The consumer pays for all this stuff. And in some cases, some businesses can't because they're mobile businesses. If another business, let's say you've got a landscaping business, whatever you got within the city limits, well, now you got to pay for all your, you got to pay that head tax every month. If it's a small business. You got 10 people there. You got to pay $21. That's going to be, you know, 10 people. It's $210 a month you got to pay. Now, all of a sudden, you got to pay that out of your pocket and try to pass that on to your clients. On top of that, you know, you got this guy that's coming from outside the county who can just drive in. Might cost him, you know, a little extra to drive that far, drive across county line, across that city line, whatever that line is. Who's not paying that head tax? Now he can come in and undercut you in your price. So you're going to start contracting your employees. But what you're going to do is you're going to start saying, you know what? If you're going to work for me, you're going to be independent contractors. You can pay your own stuff, pay your own taxes, write off your stuff. But you're going to be your own independent employee. I'm just going to contract with you to do that. That's how this stuff, it gets to that point where you start having to do that kind of work. That's how you have to start restructuring yourself, restructuring your company so that it makes it all work that way. Now, the problem with that is it gets into all kinds of insurance liability issues and all kinds of stuff because now the individual contractor can be held accountable for any kind of work that's done. Now, if the contractor, the person who's doing the job, say the landscaper gets hired to do a job and he's contracted all these people to work for him, hopefully he's got himself all covered in all those different bases. And of course, that call costs some money as well to get all that structure set up and done right properly through a lawyer and all that stuff. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a doctor. I'm also, by the way, this is all just for entertainment purposes only and everything. Anything that's talked about is only allegedly. It's all allegedly, unless it's actually documented to have happened. For instance, let's talk about Mayor Johnson here. And he has this reporter who's kind of getting in his face over a Zoom call, I guess it is. It looks like it's a Zoom type situation. And he's in a council meeting, but this guy who's asking him the question is a reporter, and he's on a television screen. I'm not sure why, but that's what it looks like here. This is courtesy of Brandon Lehman. He's got a show called Brandon Lehman on YouTube. Here we go. Let's play this, and you get an idea of how of this says so much about who Brandon Johnson is.
That you think that a Christmas market across the street from City Hall is more a threat to public safety than violent black teenagers running down State Street shooting people at a Christmas tree lighting shows your priorities. What do you say to those people, citizens, black, brown, business leaders? What do you say to those people?
Got it.
Yeah. That if they get a phone call from you or they get an interaction with you, they should avoid you. I'm not going to entertain.
Thank
because
you.
The whole premise of everything that you bring up is not only disgusting and racist.
Really?
It does no facts
so
to
the,
it.
So in the fact, attack on Bethany so, McGee, so you think she deserved that? Is that what you're saying?
I hire 36,000 people work for the city of Chicago right now. So I do know what it's like to run a major operation. I have the biggest corporation right now in the city of Chicago right now.
And the arrogance and the smugness in his voice and his stature in the way in his body language when he says that is off the charts. You would think he built it, he hired them all, and he started the whole thing himself from the ground up. Yeah, that's the kind of attitude he has right now. It's all his. It's all about his power. It's not about representation or service to the people. He's not representing anybody. He's not serving anybody. He's representing himself. He is drunk with power. And he has surrounded himself with a certain type of, and this is all about a certain type of theology. I'm going to call it the BLT theology. I'm not going to get into that right now, but that's where his background is. And to say what he said, anybody gets a call from you, that you just tell them to go away because you're racist. I run the biggest corporation in the city. 36,000 people. I run the whole thing. Who are you talking to? You talking to me? I don't have no business talking to me like that. This guy's a real problem. My understanding is his approval rating is less than 10% right now. I don't know how, you know, how he's going to make it through. But he'll I guarantee he'll probably win. If he runs again, he'll win. It just probably, I don't know. He is worse than Beetlejuice was. But I don't know. I don't know what to do with this guy. You got Jasmine Crockett, who also is running for Senate down there. I think I was talking about that. I want to try to play her. Maybe I can find it here real quick. If I can find it real quick, we'll run it. I want you to hear this because it's just so ridiculous. Her latest ad. Here it is. That's not what I thought it's going to be on. Well, let me see if I can find it here. It is within this thing right here. Because Eric Swalwell is also doing this. But this is the ad from Jasmine Crockett. Oh, here it is. I found it. I'm going to play this. I want to set the stage here a little bit because it's I want to play it. I want to play this. Hopefully this. It's just this is on a different website. I'm trying to keep the voice of this guy off here, but I don't know when he's going to stop talking. All right, let's play this. This is the only thing. I'm going to set this ad up a little bit. So what it is it's just Jasmine Crockett. She's got a designer suit on. She's been glamour shot. This is you have to understand some of these people. Jasmine Crockett probably spends more time in hair and makeup every morning before she goes out the door than I'm sure she has a team of people buying her clothing. She's reached a point where she has a lot of people around her. There's a lot of funds. Let's put it this way. There's a lot of money flowing right now in the Jasmine Crockett direction. And a lot of it has to do with why she can afford and what she's doing with all of these people. Again, they start having all this money and they don't know how to manage it at all. They have no idea what they're doing. They're going to be, you know, they'll end up poor at some point. If they don't maintain their, this is why they have to cling to their status because they, 95% of the people who come into money, who start getting a large money flow, don't stop and think about the fact that this could be shut off at any minute. They start living beyond, people who have been living beyond their means when they're making nothing will live beyond their means when they're making something. That's just typically the way it is. 90% of the people out there who finally start making a decent wage will stop living at their normal rate that they were fine with before. All of a sudden they're still overspending. Well, how big of a car payment can I afford? How much bigger of a house can I afford? And it's all based on credit. Still living 30 years out into the future somewhere. There's a guy that does videos. I can't think of his name at the moment. He's a financial psychologist, basically. And he does these studies. Now, the interesting thing about this guy is that and what I really like about his videos, he doesn't sell a product, which is just blows me away. It's quite alarming almost. This guy's name, his website is called Nick Invests, N-I-C-K Invests. He goes over and he does these little 20-minute videos every day, every morning. his little video, and he talks about money and how people think about money and what the, you know, investments and what investments can do for you, and just how people, you know, one of the worst investments on the planet is buying a new car, especially if you are financing it. It is one of the worst things you can pay for. Now, if you're going to buy that car and you're going to drive it all your life and you're going to drive it till the wheels come off, it might be worth buying it brand new. Maybe. Maybe. If it's a really good, dependable car, it's going to over the life of that. But you don't know. You buy a brand new car. I mean, the Camrys. They were very good cars. Well, when they first came out with the Toyota Camry, you didn't know that. Toyota made a pretty good product even back in the 80s. But you didn't know that. You didn't know if the next year was going to, I mean, the Honda made a very good car. My wife bought a brand new 04 Honda in 03. I think she bought it in 03. Is that right? No, she bought an 89. Was it an 89? She bought it in, I can't remember what it was. I think it was 03, you know, something like, I don't know. Right about the time it was before we moved. So it had to have been before 03. It must have been an 89. Maybe it was an 84. It was an 84, 94, 94, 92, I don't know. Well, two-door coupe, it was a five-speed Honda Accord. It was a leftover. So it was a year old, but it was a brand new car. So I think she bought it in January, whatever year it was, 89, whatever it was. It might have been an 89, she bought it in 80, bought it in 90, I don't remember. Can't remember back that far. It's just too, it all runs together. Now the cars we bought in, that's right. The new cars we bought later on. She bought an 03 that was a leftover. It was a Nissan Pathfinder. That's the way it was. So she bought a leftover from 03. Now, but she did the same thing with the Honda. It was a leftover from the year before. The dealer wanted to get off the lot. Brand new car warranty, the whole thing. Bought that car, but it was a good car. We drove the wheels off that thing. Drove it. And then I think she might have even traded that car in for the Nissan, right? I'm not sure if that's where we sold it. I think we sold it. I can't remember how we sold that car. Bought a brand new car, Nissan Pathfinder, in 2003. I think it was a 2003. We bought it in 2004. I bought a 2004, but I bought it in 2003, a Dodge Dakota. Around that time, we were changing houses, changing everything, a lot of things changing in there. We had some, we were cash fluid, thought we were. Financed them, but you know, I still have the Dakota, by the way. It's a rust bucket. It's only got 100,000 miles on it, but it's rust bucket. It's got a few issues. Let's just put it that way. Now, having said that, the Nissan we traded off for another car, and then got done some, but now we have Volvos. That's all we have is Volvos. But we have not bought a brand new car since. And I don't intend to buy another new car, unless maybe it's my last car that I'll ever own. And I'm just going to drive it until I die and do whatever. But it's still, you can take care of it. It can be a very good dependable car. And the next thing you know, somebody hits you. And then, of course, the insurance pays for it. But then it's never the same. It's a car that's never going to be the same. And it's not going to be like a new car anymore. So you never, those things happen. I would rather buy a used car that's half the value is already, you know, the when you drive it off the lot, you lose, you know, 35 or 40% right off the lot, let alone a year later, it's lost 50% of its value. And if somebody owes, if they get a 0% financing loan and they've made payments for a year, they're underwater. The car is not, you could turn around and sell the car. You're not going to pay your loan off. And this is the trap most people fall into. So then they end up having to trade it in for another one to refinance that thing and try to work all that stuff out, or maybe get a home equity loan or whatever they're doing. And you never get off of the hamster wheel. And it's just a crazy cycle. So how did I go down this road? Anyway, these people live like that. Jasmine Crockett here is one of those, she doesn't understand. I guarantee you she's not investing for the future other than, you know, she's in Congress. So she's got this sure the best 401k there is, which is insider trading. So she has this video of her just, she's standing there. She's like, this thing is totally saturated with direction. I guarantee you there's someone telling her when to blink. There's someone doing the direction that's telling her when to blink. Because that's all she's doing in this video. There's a camera movement, and she's looking up to one side, and she slowly blinks. I bet this thing took probably a whole day to do, and it's like a 15-second thing. All that's happening in the background is they're playing Donald Trump's. She's not talking about her platform or what she's going to do or what she's going to represent or what she's planning on, what any of her policies are. It's just Donald Trump saying that she's very low IQ. And this video, in my opinion, proves it. Because she doesn't say a word. All she does at the end is smiles. Like, yeah. Kind of like, oh yeah, I'm going to come get you. It's all it is. She's not running on anything. Running on empty. She sees... That's an old... Jackson Brown song. I don't know if you know who Jackson Brown is. Anyway, here she is. This is her talking. I'm going to see if I'm going to make sure that, okay, here she is. She blinks. She's kind of staring off, blinks again. No, now she turns. She turns towards the camera. Has this kind of very stoic look on her face. Blinks very slowly. Blinks very slowly again. And now she folds her arms. Now there's these flashing lights. There's lights flashing like as if they're taking pictures of her now. And then she smiles. She's folded her arms, and she kind of does this little nod with her smile. That's her ad. And I guarantee you it took them a full day to get this done, probably more. Her makeup is perfect. I'm sure she's had that. She doesn't do this at home. It's all a production thing. How long did that take? 15 seconds even? Was that even 15, 20 seconds maybe, the most? Probably spent $85,000 on that. I would imagine, at the very least. And probably a whole crew of about 10 or 15 people doing that. It just blows my mind when these people, they have no concept of the value of a dollar. They're just blowing money like this all the time. And then she does this other thing where she comes out. Here she is. Let's see if I can find this. This is kind of interesting. She's talking. Here it is. I think I found the audio part of this. Here she is. This is her talking. She's got this sign in front of her. And, of course, she's got teleprompters. Makes it look very presidential. I think she's trying to make it look like... It's very important. Now, what's funny about this? Anybody who knows anything about this, these aren't real teleprompters. If they are teleprompters, there's nothing on them. They're the glass type with the little thing where you have a little projection. It's like a glass that goes up, and it's a little projection thing. A projector goes on the bottom, and it projects it up onto the glass screen in front of you. She's out there making a speech. Well, she's got this sign that looks like it's bigger than the podium. Right in front of her. Like, you can't hardly see her. You can see her head. Now, what's not very well known about her is she's not exactly skinny. Let's just put it that way. I would say the opposite of that. She has an issue. Now, I'm just saying, yeah. Anyway, she's... So here she is now. She's talking. Listen to how she says. There's something that she says here that says I think there's one little phrase and she lets it slip. And I think it's critical that you understand who this lady is. And remember Mayor Johnson, remember what we said there. And so we're going to say about Ms. Crockett here.
A lot of people that said, you got to stay in the House. We need our voice. We need you there. And I understand. But what we need is for me to have a bigger voice.
What we need is for me to have a bigger voice.
What we need is not only a voice, but we need to make sure that we are going to stop.
They're going to stop.
Now, the problem is she's making it sound like she's making a choice to go to the Senate. She doesn't have a choice. I mean, she doesn't have a choice to stay in the House. Let's put it that way. That's not her choice to make right now. She's not going to be able to do that. Now, she says some other things later on in some other interviews. I'm not going to talk about that much. She's I need to have a bigger voice. Now, notice what she said was, we need a voice in the House. Then she said, I need a bigger voice. The Senate is not necessarily a bigger voice. She just wants to maintain her job and her little status and her little show here that she's got going on, her little sideshow. My understanding is, from people who've been around her, and there's even people who've been in her campaign and been part of what she does, but they're like sick and tired of her. One of the things that she has done, I guess, in the past, and she continues to do, is she does a lot of TikTok stuff. I guess she does a lot of social media. She's taking selfies all the time and doing all kinds of stuff, and that's her entire life revolves around that. Her political career is all about that. How many hits she can get on social media, how many clicks she can get, all this. And I guess there's ways of making money with that stuff. I don't monetize my show at all. And I don't, if you're getting advertisements during my show, then that's all that's going to whatever platform you're listening to me on. Because there's Podbean and what's the other one? I put my stuff on two different platforms. And Castos is the main, that's the main place I put it. They have the best analytics. Podbean is the one that probably most of you probably get your information from, but they're both tied to Spotify and Apple Podcasts and that kind of stuff. But most people probably get it projected out from Podbean. I believe Podbean is what Joe Rogan uses. Pretty popular platform. Boy, my numbers have flatlined here in the last. It's because I haven't put out a show for a while. this is the kind of thing that this is the kind of person we're dealing with Jasmine Crockett. They're self-aggrandizing. They're very. They think that the world revolves around themselves, and they get surrounded by people who are again. These people want to be on the inside. They want close. They want to be close to the influence, close to the power. And they will puff these people's heads up to keep them going and do anything they can to be on the inside because they're on the inside, so they'll help them get there. It becomes the cult of whatever. By the way, speaking of weird things, who is the head of the Senate right now? Is it Chuck Schumer? We hear from him all the time. Why don't we have anyone in the Senate? And the Republican Senate right now speaking out at all. But, wait, where's Mitch? Hey, Mitch, where are you? Hey, Mitch, my man Mitch, where are you, Mitch, buddy? Well, I don't see you anywhere. Maybe you can come out and make a speech, maybe, if you can stand up long enough. Folks, we have a man who should not be in that position. Is there right now. We need a voice right now in the Senate. We need someone who can come out and actually make a speech. Who's in charge, not just Chuck Schumer. You'd think he was in charge of the Senate right now. He's not. And he's not going to, hopefully won't be after the midterms. It'd be much more entertaining to have AOC there anyway, but it's just... Mitch can barely stand up. You talk about Joe Biden being elderly abuse. Mitch McConnell needs to get out of there. And again, here's the problem. It is the cult around him. All the people around him that will have to go with him when he goes. They're the ones who are propping him up and dragging him into it because they're going to lose their seat of influence, their elbows brushing with power and their ability to stay in the mix that are keeping him tacked up this weekend with Bernie, whatever that movie is. It's just that's what's happening there. And it is sad for Mitch's sake, and it's sad for the country's and nation's sake because we have no voice there. And if he did have a voice, I'm concerned about how he would even use it. He's not exactly a pro-Trump guy. Mitch has always been an establishment guy. So there we have it. In the midst of all that, folks, I do want to thank you for listening. I think as we go into this, what is this, Tuesday? This is only Tuesday. Tomorrow and Thursday, there will be a show. Hopefully, everything will go well. I think I might actually be able to pull off having a live show tomorrow. It may be a little later in the morning. I can't remember. It seems I know there's some things planned on my schedule. I can't right offhand think of what those are. I think tomorrow. Tomorrow afternoon, I have some things to do. Today, I'm not sure exactly what's going on. I think Thursday morning, it's going to be a little bit tight for me to try to get anything done as far as getting a live show in at the actual worldwide headquarters. I'm going to try it again and see how it works out. I may try to put on a live video broadcast at some point, but I also need to work on my vMix stuff going on. I got to get some things kind of caught up on at that studio. Some things cleaned up and caught up. And kind of get back to working on some of those things because it's as I ease into retirement here in the next couple of years, my voiceover business for one thing has gone well and it's kind of on autopilot right now. I'm just doing some things but I really need to go back to doing some of those kinds of things. In fact, I'm going to start a podcast about voiceover work. It's for those of you who want to are interested in that. It's a totally different shift from what I'm talking about here. But I actually do that kind of thing. And I've actually been fairly successful at that. And I'm going to get into more of the coaching and training part of that part of the business. However, I'm going to get back into the actual doing the work as well. So I kind of feel like if you're a teacher or if you're an instructor of any kind or coach or whatever you are, there's this – you kind of almost need to be involved in actually doing it once in a while. It's just been my philosophy. I was an instructor at a airline for a while, a flight instructor, and I found that it's kind of interesting. There was two different kinds of people in the training departments there, and it typically is that way. Now, some training departments, they don't allow you to fly the line. They don't let you go out and fly the line. They don't give you any time to do it anyway. They'll just tell you you got to work your schedule, full time schedule here, and then if you want to go out and pick up time on your days off, you can go out and fly. Well, that's kind of crazy. I get it. You make an extra money, you're making time and a half doing that, but it's fine. But and you can bump anybody off the line you want to. You can give them a day off or whatever. You go out and fly the line. What's kind of weird about that is that I've noticed that the guys who did that while I was in the training department there, I would go out and fly. I would fly usually a four day trip, at least once a month. And something would always happen during that 4 days that I would take back and tell a story to my students. I always had something to share from that 4 day experience. It was however small of a thing it was. I happened to notice I didn't catch this, and because you're constantly, the reason there's two people in that cockpit is because you are constantly catching each other's traps or trapping each other's mistakes, I should say, catching each other's mistakes, trapping them. One person, and usually you'll trap your own. If you're given enough time, If you make a mistake, usually most pilots will, you know, because one thing leads to another, and you do a checklist, and you can do, it's always this kind of, you're kind of double checking. But once in a while, you'll select something, and someone will say, "Oh, did you mean to do this?" So yeah, that's what that that's what that's what they want someone. And it's not usually a big issue. It's just a particular way you're going to descend or whatever, and you select something, and it's not going to do that way. It's going to do it, you know, a different way or whatever it's going to do, and it's just more for efficiency's sake. You do certain things a certain way. And certain procedures, certain standards that we have. And so you might do something out of order or whatever it is. And then the other person catches it. And it's just you stay on top of that kind of thing. Now, the checklist will also catch that. But it's one of those things where that's why we're there. I've always heard that the difference between a good carpenter and a bad carpenter is the good carpenter knows how to cover up his mistakes. Knows how to correct his mistakes and make them look like they didn't exist or make them look like they're supposed to be there. It's probably very true, which is, it's just kind of interesting how we view that. Now, if you tell somebody that, an airline pilot, now brain surgeons, I assume they do the same thing. That nerve was supposed to go over there, that little stem thing. We'll attach it over here instead. Nobody will know what to do. Until the next guy opens up his head. I don't know how this stuff works. Because I'm not a neurosurgeon. I don't know. Oh, by the way, I got some audio. I think I'll play this stuff tomorrow. I've got some interest. I recorded some things that I really want to play. Because I think it's pretty interesting stuff. There's one guy is an epidemiologist, and he talks about some of the stuff that was being thrown around during the pandemic, as it was called. While all that was going on, it's interesting stuff. And there's also this lady who confronts it. It had me in tears. I have to say, this lady, she was born. Her mother attempted to have two abortions, illegal abortions, because where she was, at that time, abortion wasn't legal where she was at. So she attempted to have two abortions illegally, and this woman survived. And so she's answering questions from a panel, and they're having this kind of a back and forth discussion, and she confronts this. And this woman, the woman who survived these abortions, she's older now. She's probably, I don't know, she's probably in her 30s at least, upper 30s maybe. And she is, this woman who is pro-choice is confronting her. And the discussion that they have is, the woman who is confronting her basically is left speechless without any argument whatsoever. It's just, I think that she was brilliant in the way she handled it. And it was, it's just very straight in your face stuff. And it's very, very good. I'm going to play that tomorrow. Also, I'm going to play the other thing with the epidemic. I'm just going to play some short stuff that's kind of a random Wednesday, wishy-washy Wednesday stuff. And we'll just go from there. But it's. In the meantime, folks, I want to know what you think about what I think. Let me know what you think about anything. Maybe you got some kind of off the wall comment thing you want to say. Just go ahead and say it. That's what this show is all about. It's not. No, it's a free speech zone. Whatever you want to call it. You can call the number 812-379-8778. Leave a text message or a voicemail message. I might play your voicemail on the show, maybe. Maybe. I don't know. It depends on if you can keep it clean. And they have, we'll play that just to talk about that. You can ask questions or make comments, or maybe there's something you want me to cover on the show. Maybe there's a news item that I haven't talked about that you think would be interesting for me to get my perspective on it. Go ahead and send that on over. In the meantime, have a great rest of your day. Have a great rest of your week. I'm Kevin, And I will see you. God bless. Have a great week.